A man is riding in a chariot on his way back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And he's busy reading the Word of God. And suddenly he sees a man that's running toward the chariot in which he's riding. The man so running was Philip the Evangelist, who had been told to go and join himself to this particular chariot. And as Philip approached, he heard this man reading, and he was reading from the Bible and the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And as they were seated there and talking, Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, you know, how can I unless someone teach me? And the Bible simply says that Philip began at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. Early in Jesus' ministry, in John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me, the Old Testament scriptures. After his resurrection in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, the resurrected Christ said unto them, O foolish men and slow of hearts, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, behooved it not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And later in that same chapter of Luke, chapter 24, verse 44, that all things must needs be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. You know, you may ask yourself today, well, you know, we live under the New Testament age, Christian age. For what purpose do we have the Old Testament? We know the purpose it served for the Jews as guidance to them, but for what purpose or purposes does it serve Christians today? Well, there are several purposes, all of which I probably have never thought of, but here are some. The Old Testament provides wisdom, and it equips us for service for God. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14, Paul, speaking to this young gospel preacher, said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, mature, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. So it's essential that we be knowledgeable of the Old Testament. A second thing that the Bible, the Old Testament, does for us is it gives us examples. It gives us some good examples to follow, and it gives us some bad examples to stay away from. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11, in that context, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church at Corinth, speaks to them of things that the Jews, the chosen people of God, had done in the Old Testament, and how God was with them, and then how they had strayed from God. And then in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 10, the writer says, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So the Old Testament serves purpose. It serves a purpose for us today. It's really the only reliable history of that period of time. There are secular books that give an account, especially books of Josephus, that give us an account of a number of the things that happened during that period of time. But the Old Testament is really the only reliable history of that period of time. And there have been a number of archaeological discoveries over in the Middle East that serve to validate many of the places and persons that are mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Romans 15 and verse 4, in writing to the church at Rome, the very seat of the Roman Empire at that time, Apostle Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scripture might have," or patience and comfort of the Scriptures, "might have hope." Again, as we look at some purposes the Old Testament serves, we hear a lot about creationism versus evolution. The Bible is the only place that can tell us, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God. Mind over matter. Did we come from monkeys? Did we come from an amoeba that crept out of the sea that we don't know where the sea came from? Or did we begin with God? Did God make us? How are we made? Who are we? We are created in the image of God. We have purpose. We have purpose to serve God and to serve one another. The Old Testament also introduces to us and points us to Jesus. All of us have had situations where we've had to introduce or were allowed to introduce a friend of ours to someone else. We give them a name, what they do, something about them, you know, a little history, whatever, and then move on. And one of the purposes that the Old Testament serves is that throughout the Old Testament, we see hints, we see prophecies, we see a foretelling of the coming of Jesus Christ. So that when we open the New Testament, we don't begin at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, "Jesus? Moses? John the Baptist? Where did these people come from?" The Old Testament serves to introduce us to them. Just as the Old Testament served to introduce the Jews of the first century, so that many became Christians because of the introduction they got to Christ in the Old Testament. Earlier we read from Jesus' words how that Moses and how that the other prophets and the Psalms spoke of Him. So we have Jesus' own words saying, "Look to the Old Testament. Look to Moses. Look to the prophets. Look to the Psalms, and you'll find much of me there." Moses was the writer of the books of law, the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And one of the first statements that's made in the Bible concerning Jesus is right off the bat in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Adam and Eve were placed in a beautiful garden, a garden of paradise, a garden of Eden. It wasn't long, though, before they were tempted of Satan, the serpent. And they fell to the deception of Satan. And they gave in to the temptation of partaking of the tree of life. And we see that at that point, God approached them. They tried to hide themselves from Him. And one of the things that God said to them, said to the serpent himself, said, "I will put enmity between thee and woman, and between thy seed and her seed," that descendant. "And it shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head." Or his heel. Let me read that again. "And I will put enmity between thee and woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Satan would bruise Jesus' heel, which is not a very mighty blow, is it? But Jesus would bruise the head of Satan, which would give Satan a deadly blow. Jesus here is introduced as the seed of woman who would deal with sin. Galatians 4 and 4. And that's right, and there the writer says, writer Paul, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law." In Genesis 12, verses 1 and, through 3, Genesis 22 and verse 18, the Old Testament continues to unveil to us something about Christ. It's It is veiled most times or all times to the people who are prophesying. And only when we come to the New Testament are we able, because of quotations of those scriptures, we're able to understand that they had reference to Christ. In those references in Genesis 12 and Genesis 22, God tells Abraham that in his seed, that is his descendants, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, all families. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but unto thy seed, which is Christ, as of one seed. So Abraham, when he prophesied, when he was told by God that through him all nations of the earth would be blessed, had no idea that that was to be through Christ in the first century. Although they had the land, that was a land promise that was kept. In Moses, in writing that down and telling of Abraham that it would be through his seed all nations of the earth be blessed. And we have to go to Galatians, really, Galatians 3 and verse 16, to see that he was talking about Christ. That through Christ, all nations would be blessed. In Genesis 49 and verse 10, again, Moses writing says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, or law from between his feet until Shiloh come. The meaning of that word Shiloh means a giver of rest or a giver of peace. Well, how do we know it refers to Jesus? Again, going to the New Testament, Hebrews 7, in verses 13, 14, that area states that it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. That was a tribe of the Israelites. So Moses here introduces God, or Jesus rather, as the peace giver who will descend from the tribe of Judah. Look with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses also speaks. The Lord speaks to him, and Moses writes. Deuteronomy 18, rather, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him you shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require what required of him. As we go to the New Testament then, in the book of Acts chapter 3 and other places, it indicates to us that Moses was speaking of Jesus Christ. And that as Luke wrote the book of Acts, he was speaking of the current time. He was speaking of the beginning of the church. He was speaking of the Christ. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, says that in the latter times, God would speak to us through his Son. The Hebrew writer says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past by the prophets, those that we've been reading about, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So that tells us of the authority of Jesus Christ in matters of religion today. Ever since the first century, through the current age, and through to eternity. Not only Moses introduced us to Christ, Jesus said there in Luke 24, but other prophets also. And we'll just look at one of them, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, and also in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, there's a prophecy. And I'm sure Isaiah did not know of whom he wrote, but he introduces a child. He says, he speaks of a son who is to be born, who would be called by many names, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And hundreds of years later, a child was born, a son was born, of the seed of woman, Galatians 4:4. of the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:16, of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews chapter 7, born of a virgin as early prophesied in Isaiah 7, verse 14. I don't imagine you're going to remember all these scripture references because I'm looking down to see them, most of them I said. But the emphasis in the lesson this morning is to say, okay, the Old Testament serves a purpose. If we're to learn as much as we need to know, as we desire to know about Christ, then we must have knowledge of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is not a dead letter, a dead group of letters, a dead book. It has its purposes. And one of those is to introduce us to Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, we are introduced. Isaiah 7, verse 4, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Shall call his name Emmanuel. We find it later in the gospel accounts that Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Earlier we spoke of a man riding in a chariot. And he was on his way back to Ethiopia. He's a treasurer down there, so he's headed back there from Jerusalem to visit there to worship. He's busy reading. Suddenly we mentioned that there's a man running toward his chariot. Today, if there was somebody running after us, they'd be running after us in a car, I guess, and we'd be trying to get away from them. But back then, they were a little more civil than some of our road rage folks these days. But as we mentioned, Philip was running, and when he came up to the rider in that chariot, he wanted to know, do you understand what you're reading? And then he found out that he was reading from Isaiah 53. He was reading about the suffering servant, the one who would be rejected, who would be despised, who would be the sin bearer for all the people. Now, he didn't really know to whom he referred. But as we look at the New Testament, we see that here Philip is preaching to a man, and he begins at Isaiah 53 and preaches to him Jesus. Jesus. We don't know exactly what he said, but he began where this man was. And this man, he only had the Old Testament at that time. They didn't have a Old Testament, New Testament that they walked around, you know, with it under their arm. They had access to Old Testament scriptures and probably very limited access at that. But also the Psalms introduce us to Jesus. The Psalms introduce us to Jesus. In John chapter 13 and verse 18, Jesus tells us that one of the 12, one of those who was there eating with them at that time, the Last Supper, would betray him. And he did this by quoting a portion of Psalm 41, verse 9, which says, Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread and lifted up his heel against me. So the psalmist introduces Jesus as one who would be betrayed by a friend. And Jesus later from the cross, one of the seven sayings was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words were first recorded in Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This Psalm 22 goes on to tell of Jesus' crucifixion. He goes on to tell about the wicked crowd which compassed Jesus about as if he were a dog, Psalm 22:16. And in the same verse is mentioned the piercing of Jesus' hands and the piercing of Jesus' feet. Then in verse 18, the psalmist foretold of the casting of lots by the soldiers for his garments. In John 19:24, as John retells his meetings with Jesus, his time spent with him, he said that the soldiers cast lots for Jesus' coat that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So the Psalms themselves introduce us to Jesus by foretelling a number of events especially surrounding that week of Jesus' death. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, which were written in the prophets, which were written in the Psalms concerning me, Jesus said. Jesus said, you want to learn more about me? You want to see where I was in the mind of God before this first century? The purpose of my coming was in the mind of God, and the plan for me to come was in the mind of God. Go to the Old Testament scriptures, for they speak concerning me. He said, you'll have a background. You'll have a background as to what I'm doing today. You'll have a background for what the church will do in the future. And you'll have a better understanding of the purpose for which I came to this earth. Let me introduce you to Jesus. These are not the exact words that these Old Testament prophets and the Psalms and Moses say. But these words, though not used, is exactly what these Old Testament writers did for us. Moses said he'd be born of the seed of woman. Galatians 4:4 tells us that that was the case. That he would be born the seed or descendant of Abraham, Genesis 12 and 18. We read Galatians 3 and we see that that was the case. Again in Genesis 49, Moses said he'd be born of the tribe of Judah. And we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 7, we see that that's the case. They are in agreement. He would be God's prophet or God's spokesman, Deuteronomy 18. And we go to Acts chapter 3 and see that that was the case. The prophets introduce us to Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and also Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. He would be the suffering servant, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Isaiah 53 foretold that. He would be betrayed by a friend, the book of Psalms says, Psalm 49. He would die an intense, painful death to the extent that he would cry out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we see why Philip, when he spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch, and when he sought to teach him about Jesus, began in the Old Testament. Those were the scriptures that were available. But that was where he was reading. So he began where he was. So what are we to think about this Jesus? So what are we to think about Jesus? He's a Son of God. He's an eternal purpose, source of our salvation. The servant of God. The Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. This morning, if you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ, who offers that salvation, who offers remission of sins if we have faith in Him, if we're willing to repent of our sins, if we're willing to be baptized in obedience to His will. Acts chapter 2 and numerous examples of conversions in the book of Acts. And then to arise from baptism to walk a new life. To be a new creature in Christ. To read from the Old Testament. To read from the New Testament, to study the mind of God, to study the mind of Christ, and to renew our lives and our minds daily, to be more and more like Him as a Christian. If you fail to do that, if you need our prayers this morning, we'd be glad to pray with you. If there's a need for you to rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that today as we stand, as we sing?